writing notes and whatever God was giving me, and praying that the Holy Spirit would just download and into my spirit so I could take note of it. And I thought I had everything written down, and God changed it. And God is so good. We've been reading The Heart of Christmas, and I read through week four, and I read again, and I read again. And the Holy Spirit told me, or showed me, that I needed to read this. So if you have a book and you want to follow along with me, that's great. If not, the title of my message is God's Greatest Love. It is because of God's great love for humanity that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. Though through sin he had broken all of creation, God longed to see it restored. It is the very reason which Jesus came. It's not about Christmas trees. It's not about exchanging gifts. The gift that we exchange is Jesus Christ, and we celebrate his birthday. The word used within the scriptures for this kind of love is the Greek word agape, which is a sacrificial and selfless love. The full extent of God's love can only be seen when we recognize that what began in a manger ended on the cross. So we take this trip from Jesus Christ's birth to the cross. Christmas truly is the most wonderful time of the year, especially when people share sacrificial love within one another, keeping in step with this example of Christ. This, and then John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." God loved each one of us, so he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. And that is so awesome. And to follow that, there's a hymn, O Holy Night. The author of that hymn is Pellucide Capieu, originally written in 1843 to celebrate the renovation of a church organ in Rocamere, France. O Holy Night is one of the most difficult Christmas songs to execute properly, and I can relate to that because of the wide range, vocal range. It has become one of the most famous and well-known Christian carols, and is commonly used to close Christmas Eve services in churches worldwide. The song focuses on the divine event that took place on that first Christmas night as Jesus was born into the world. A thrill of hope. Can you imagine? A thrill. Don't we get excited when Notre Dame wins? Or we watch our favorite football game and we're just so excited. So we should be excited that Jesus Christ was born this time of the year. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angels' voices. O night divine. O night when Christ was born. O night, O holy night. O night divine. The Bible says that there are telltale signs that someone follows Jesus as well. In other words, we can tell when there's a person that is truly a Christian and loves and follows God. That person has that intimate relationship with God, and they know who God is in them and who they are in Him. They are defined by their love for one another, because they have received God's love for them by Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. They in turn share it with others. I have met people who are so selfless, so sacrificial, and so kind that it is a dead giveaway of their commitment to Christ. And you can tell a person that is fully committed to Christ. We ought to ask ourselves whether or not our lives look like people who follow Christ. Are we true disciples based upon how we talk to and treat people we encounter? And we need to ask ourselves every day, how do we treat people, especially when we go to the store and the lady or person at the register is kind of tired and upset and is very short with us? How do we treat them? Do we treat them with love? Do we smile at them and say thank you? Our love for others is the litmus test of our faith. Looking back, this is a true depiction of the importance of the Christ child. He is the result of God's love for the world. He is the center of the story. He is the reason for the season. Jesus came to offer us eternal life if we but put our faith in Him. Jesus so loved this broken world that He laid heaven aside and became one of us in order to give Himself for us. It is the greatest love story ever told. And we look around and we see how this world is totally upside down. And I know Gabe shared about how things are right now and how confused some people are as far as their identity, as who they are and who they really represent. Is when we don't have Christ in our lives, we are totally confused, and you are so right. Jesus gives us a simple three-step instruction manual for how to live life well. First, we must love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. We must love Him more than anything else in the world. In other words, He needs to be the center of our lives. He needs to be the center of our households. And for those that are married, He needs to be the center of your marriage. Second, we must value ourselves the way that God values us. Because of His love for us, we can love ourselves not with ego, but with humility. In other words, when we truly recognize and when we truly have God in the center of our lives, then we know who we are in Him. There is no doubt. Third, then and only then can we love our neighbors the way we are designed to. And our neighbors are not just the people that live beside us. Our neighbors are people that we encounter on a daily basis. It could be at the faith mission. It could be serving, feeding. It could be Friday when we had different people here, you know. And we served with humility because we just never know who comes in those doors and what their need is or what their physical disability is. And so we help them. And even outside these four walls, we are to help those out there. Third, then, and only then can we love our neighbors the way we are designed to. These are the instructions for life. Jesus says all the laws and the prophets, everything that has been said before, hang on these commandments. At the heart of Christmas is a love for God, for love for self, and love for others. In other words, at this time of Christmas, and it shouldn't end right here at Christmas. It shouldn't end after the 25th when we've already given of ourselves, served our family, exchanged gifts. It should go through. It should go always. It's something that we should do always. Love is not simply permissive. Real love protects and guides. As a father, the most loving thing I can do for my children sometimes is to say no. God sees us as his beloved children, and there are times in our lives when he corrects us as an expression of his love. So when something goes wrong, don't... what is the word I want to use? Don't feel bad that it's going on, but thank God that he's your helper and he's your provider and he's your sustainer. And overall, he loves you very much and he will never leave you or forsake you. He will never leave us. He's always right here. So God will disciple or discipline us, not out of anger, but out of divine love. He loves us so much that he will correct us if we are going the wrong way, or we are living our lives unexpected to him, then he will correct us. And we may think it's just, you know, that's nothing, but it is. It is. He'll correct us and he'll follow us and chase us until we bow our knee to him. Christmas is a time to recognize Jesus as a Savior because he came to rescue us. But it is also a time to trust Jesus as Lord because he came to show us how to live out of love. Love is patient. Psalms 103:8. The Lord is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Can you imagine that? The only hard part of the Advent candle is that it seems to take forever to get to December 24th. It is difficult to be patient and wait for Christmas to finally come when there are 24 days to get through. However, it is the waiting that we can identify with God's posture toward us. It is out of abounding love that God is compassionate toward us and patient with us. He is slow to anger over sin because he longs for us to turn toward him in repentance. We live in a microwave era or time. We want everything real quick, real quick. I'll put it in the microwave and it'll be cooked right now. I see it. I'm not very good at traffic. So it really frustrates me when I get down the road and people are speeding around you to get to the stop. And there you go. You get to the same stop. But why are they speeding? It's beyond me. And you go to the grocery store and it's the same thing. People walk in the grocery store with their carts like they drive. They're just pushing that cart right along, and you want to stop and see something, because I like to read the labels. You want to stop and see something, and you can't because that person is pushing their cart, and you go to pay, you go to the register, and there's that person right here, right behind you with their cart. It's like, oh my gosh, Lord, give me that strength to endure. Christmas is a season of waiting. We have to wait. And how many times do we have to wait, not only for Christmas, but for other things? We pray and we wait. We stand and we wait. And the word says, stand. And when you've done all that you could, stand. Continue to stand. It is a season of anticipation. Each day, as the new door is opened, it is one day closer to the day we are waiting for. So as you wait patiently for Christmas today, be thankful that God is patient with you because of his love. So when we love one another, we wait patiently. We endure. We don't put them in the microwave and expect them to change right now or do what we have asked them to do. We just wait, and we continue to pray. We continue to stand. And sometimes we have to fast and fast and fast and pray. John paints a similar picture for his readers. In John 1:14, the Word became flesh. His dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. After thousands of years of prophecy and waiting and longing for the Messiah, God sent his Son to pull on skin and live and dwell among us mere humans. The one that the people had heard. In other words, it was prophesied that he was coming, and that he was coming, and it was told, and it was taught, and it was prophesied, and the people were waiting anxiously because the world was a mess. The one that the people had heard about for so long was now before them. It was truly amazing. They could hardly believe their eyes. When Jesus came to dwell among us, he came to show us what God is like. He came to display his glory. He embodied picture that we have of who God is from Jesus is one of grace and truth. How many times do we have to give people grace and speak the truth and do it in love? It's all put together. You know, ladies, when we bake a cake or bake some brownies or do something in the kitchen, then we have to take all the ingredients and bring them together. Otherwise, it's tasteless. Doesn't taste very good. So Jesus is one of grace and truth. So without Jesus, we don't have grace. We're very short-tempered. Very short-tempered. And then we tend to stretch the truth, which is a lie. So grace that loves and accepts us just the way we are, and truth that shows us where God longs to transform our lives. And that's kind of painful when God shows us, because we want that person to change. Why me, God? Why do I have to change? God says, You have to change. I want you to change. That's something, and it's pretty painful when we recognize that God in His love and He in His grace and His truth wants us to change. In a manger in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago, we encountered Emmanuel, God with us. The love of God is ours, and we are never alone. And Pastor Cheryl talked about, or God showed her, that we are never alone. We are never alone. Once we accept Christ, we are never alone. We just need to say, help. I know I say it every day, every minute of the day. Help me. Help me to continue on. Help me to do your will. Help me to be the person that when I step out of my door, that I can treat people with kindness and with grace and with truth and mustered with lots of love. Though the birth of Jesus was a surprise to the world, it was no surprise to God. God had it all planned out. At just the right time, God sent His Son to be born of a woman to rescue us. The law of God was something we could never live up to. Left to ourselves, we would always fall short of the glory of God. And that is so true. Without God, we fall short every day, every minute of the day. So we need Him. We need Him. However lived out the law perfectly, and in so doing, He made the way for us to become a part of God's family. On this Christmas day, we remember that God knows exactly what He is doing, and He has made a way for us to be made right with Him. We have to listen to His voice. And we listen through the Word, as we search the Scriptures, and as we listen quietly. Listen. I know I get a lot of voice from the Lord and a lot of download from the Lord when I'm driving down the road. And sometimes I'll be worshiping and waving my hands. And I'm sure people think I'm kind of strange, because even when I'm driving, I'm singing and carrying on and just thanking the Lord for the day or where I'm going or for His protection, for His love. He's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. He's our provider. He's our sustainer. And this Christmas, remember that it's all about Him. He's the center of Christmas. Yes, we put up decorations and make it very festive, but let's remember that Christmas is all about Jesus, and we celebrate Him. We celebrate His birth, His life and resurrection. And to end, I have a Bible handbook. It's a revised scripture chapter 13 of Corinthians says the primary teaching of Christianity, an undenying expression of Jesus' doctrine of heavenly love, more potent for the building of the church than any or all of the various manifestations of God's power. And right here, what he's talking about is the different gifts. Love, the church's most effective weapon. I thought that was so interesting how he worded that. That love is the most effective power. love without which all the various gifts of the Spirit are of no avail. Love, the essence of God's nature. Love, the perfection of human character. Love, the most powerful, ultimate force in the universe. Isn't that something? I just like, oh, was in awe when I read this, and I thought, oh, I've got to read it to finish up my message. I'm not sure where Pastor Cheryl is. You guys are singing? So I hope that you can go home and read this. It's the fourth and last chapter of this little book. It's awesome, because then you can just go ahead and go through it again and again and again. Remind you all that next Sunday we're having church in the main lobby. There'll be refreshments, and Jeff and the worship team will be out there leading us in worship. And I will close in prayer. So, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name, I thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for each one of us here. I thank you, Lord, that as the word has gone forth, that we will learn to love one another with patience, with your grace, and with your truth. We ask for those that are ill this morning, and we ask that you would touch them and that you would heal them. We ask you especially for Pastor Janet as she is at home recovering. Father God, I ask that you would be with her and touch her and heal her and take away any discomfort that she may have. I thank you, Lord. I ask that you would go with us, guide us and protect us, and let us share that love of Jesus Christ to all that we come in contact with. In Jesus' name.